Millions of hours become days. Your pictures that keep me away. I was trying to find y'all, see if the love was still the same.
Well, we're safe from the drop in a season to forget. The task in hand is a sour rebuild as we see many players depart and for Jim Goodwin to make his mark on a new Dons team for the new season. Our match against Hibs on Saturday had that end of season fair about it, nothing much to write home about, which ultimately, despite us going ahead, ended in a 1-0 draw. Post-match reaction from Jim Goodwin coming up, plus Aberdeen women were also in action against Hibs in Livingston on Sunday, and the exciting news that the women's team have gone semi-professional. We also have the list of award winners from the AFC Player of the Year Awards, plus a flurry of news over the past week, a roundup from the rest of the weekend's matches in the SPFL, and some supporters' news on the AFC Donscast on Tuesday, the 10th of May. Back after a week away producing an online show for the Scottish local government elections for the Highland Council. So let's get back to the matter in hand and our match against Hibs at Easter Road on Sunday. The opening to this game could have seen us go behind within the first few minutes after Joe Lewis was penalised for picking up a pass back, conceding an indirect free kick. Ryan Porteous fired the ball at goal from the edge of the 6-yard box, but Declan Gallagher blocked his shot. Paul Hanlon headed wide, Elias Makerson had his shot tip round the post as Hibs kept up the opening pressure. We had our moments too. Johnny Hedges picked up a through ball from Connor Barron to pick up Lewis Ferguson, but Hanlon was in his way. Ferguson shot over and Hayes had a free kick put wide as both sides attempted to open the scoring. The scoring did come in the second half. David Bates gave us a lead when he fired home Declan Gallagher's knockdown, but Paul McGinn levelled with almost the same move to make it 1-1. We had further chances. Vicente Beswin was inches away from connecting with a cross and Bates headed over with an open goal in front of him. Hibs could have taken the win in the very last moments of the game, Josh Doig's effort being deflected by Lewis Ferguson.
Jim, disappointing not to get all 3 points when you get so close.
Yeah, of course we are, you know, always disappointed not to win every game that we go into. You know, we asked the players to try and, you know, take some confidence from the clean sheet last week, and another one here today would have been brilliant. For the defenders and for Big Joe, you know, Big Joe, who I thought was excellent today, made a couple of really important saves. But I can't have too many arguments with the end result. You know, I thought we were very good first half. I thought we were in control for large periods of the opening 45 minutes. In fairness to Hibs in the second half, I thought they were the better team, and probably, you know, a draw was fair.
As you say, the tip round the post first half from Melkerson, and that save from Joe Newell, second half from Joe, was remarkable. He's come back to really good form, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think last week, you know, we wouldn't have won the game without him last week. You know, at 0-0 especially, in the first maybe 15, 20 minutes, he's had to make a couple of good saves. Today, you know, he has only had those two particular saves to make, but they were very good ones. There's no getting away from that. The first one, I think, was probably better than the second one. The second one, he's very brave, makes himself big. But, you know, we've had a couple of decent opportunities of our own as well. You know, Fergie's unlucky with the volley, a great ball from Johnny in the first half. The second half, we've had a couple of decent opportunities. Big Christian's unlucky with his touch in the second half there. There was another one as well where Johnny Hayes puts a great ball across the face. Wee Vinny is very unlucky not to get on the end of that on the back post. You know, if we'd have got that second goal, I think we would have went on to win the game. But no, Hibs deserved the point. There's no getting away from that. End of season game, you know, sometimes it's very hard to get the players going, but I thought the attitude was there. You know, I didn't think any of the players were in holiday mode, if you like. We went with a starting 11 that were, you know, are all under contract for next season, you know, and have all got a point to prove. And I asked them before the game, you know, go and show me that you want to be here next year. And I think we got that in the main. The second half was very disrupted throughout the second 45. There was an awful lot of stoppages in play, a lot of cheap fouls, in my opinion. There was one or two serious knocks as well. So it was very hard, I think, for either team to get a rhythm in it. But look, it's a point on the board. We're not, you know, celebrating it by any stretch. We've got a couple of games to come, and we'll have to have a look at the squad and see who we've got available to us come Wednesday.
You mentioned the Fergie volley first half. Should that have been a penalty, did you think?
I haven't actually had a chance to watch it back. I mean, it, you know, he did really hit it with some power. So I don't know exactly where the Hibs players' arms were at the time. The boys were shouting for it, as they do. But I thought it was brave defending from the Hibs player, I have to say. I think it would have been very unfortunate to have a penalty given against you for that when the ball is coming at such pace. But I thought at 1-0, you know, we scored a really good goal, a great knockdown from Decky, and Batesy puts it away. Batesy, you know, would be disappointed probably not to have another one. He had a good opportunity as well to make it 2-0. But yeah, look, the lads give us everything. You know, we've got a couple of games now to come, and we'd like to try and win the next two if we can.
Yeah, there were plenty of pluses there today. I guess the main minus for you would be the fact that you didn't manage it through having led into those final few minutes.
Yes, you know, there's always positives to take. There's always bits that we can improve on, and you know, we know that. I thought the two centre-backs were very good for the majority of the game. You know, Joe Lewis, obviously, last couple of games, very consistent. You know, back to the Joe Lewis that we all know. And, you know, again, I thought Ferguson and Barron in the first half were very, very good and in control. Dante Pulvara has, you know, not kicked the ball really this season. It was an opportunity for me to get a look at him. I thought he'd done okay. So yeah, look, we're winding down now, but we want to go and try and finish the season properly and finish it in a good manner and be professional in our performance on Wednesday. We might need to juggle one or two things around in terms of team selection, because a couple of the boys have came off with aches and pains there. We've had a couple of head knocks that we need to assess and make sure that they're okay with the concussion rules and everything else that's in play just now. So yeah, hopefully the boys that are on the bench and haven't started will be chomping at the bit, and we'll go out there on Wednesday and give a good account of themselves if selected.
On to Perth we go. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Cheers, mate.
Catch live audio and video of our next match only on Red TV. Subscribe now for full match day coverage, replays, highlights and all the goals, exclusive interviews and behind the scenes content. Sign up now at redtv.afc.co.uk. The best of the action only on Red TV.
Aberdeen Women went down 4-1 to Hibs on Sunday afternoon at the Tony Macaroni Arena as the hosts took all 3 points in SWPL1. Bailey Hutchison equalised an Ailey Adams opener, but goals from Adams again, Macaloni and a Forrest own goal gave the home side the victory. Aberdeen Women are back in action on Wednesday away to Glasgow City at Petershill Park. The match kicks off at 7:45pm and will be shown live on BBC Alba.
Who let the dogs out? Don't be a spoil sport. Keep your dogs on the lead when you're near wildlife. Keep Scotland unspoiled.
On Friday night in the SPFL, Inverness Carlie Thistle defeated Partick Thistle 1-0 in the second leg of the Premiership playoff quarter-final in the Highland Capital. Billy Dodds' side led 2-1 from the first leg at Firhill on Tuesday, and a 29th-minute goal from former Don Austin Samuel secured a 3-1 aggregate victory. Carlie Thistle now face Arbroath in the semi-finals, with the first leg at home tonight and the return match at Gayfield on Friday. Both matches will be shown on the BBC Scotland channel. A big Saturday in the Premiership kicked off at midday. Celtic bounced back from an early setback to defeat Hearts 4-1 in Glasgow. Motherwell took the advantage in the battle for Europe as they defeated Ross County in Dingwall thanks to a Kevin Van Veen penalty. And St Mirren defeated Dundee 2-0 in Paisley, and St Johnstone and Livingston drew 1-0 at the Tony Macaroni. And on Sunday, Rangers beat Dundee United 2-0.
Oi, litter bugs. Stop spoiling the view. Pick up your litter when you leave. Keep Scotland unspoiled.
Aberdeen have announced a significant milestone in the club's history as Aberdeen FC Women prepare to become a semi-professional team. With the SPFL now taking a leading role in the development of women's top-flight football, and with the women's game in Scotland on an exciting upward trajectory, there's a strong desire from the club to build on the progress and success achieved so far and to move to the next phase of the strategic plan for AFC Women. Having enjoyed back-to-back promotions and a successful season in SWPL1, in which they consolidated our mid-table position, competing strongly with more established teams in the league, the move to become semi-professional represents a clear and an ambitious move by the club to invest in the progression of the women's team. A small group of first-team players, including Jess Broddick, Bailey Hutchison, Francesca Ogilvie, Ailey Shore and Eva Thompson, have been secured on contracts until 2024, with further investment being made by the club to enhance operations off the field, improve standards and infrastructure, whilst ensuring there is a clear pathway to professional football for female footballers across the North East. Academy Director Gavin Levy explains more.
Well, Gav, this morning a major announcement for the AFC women's team. Can you maybe just start by explaining a little bit about what's happened?
Yeah, we've got to the stage where we have now been able to announce that we have five players who have signed professional contracts here at Aberdeen Football Club and become the first ever professional female players in the club's history.
And what are the reasons behind it at this stage of the development of the team?
We just feel it's the right time to move forward and to professionalise the game in some format here in the North East. And whilst it's a big step for us, it's also a step that's been taken with a lot of thought behind it, and it fits our long-term football strategy here at the club, but also our financial model. And we've grown so fast, so quick, and we think it's right to reward the girls' opportunity now to become young professionals.
And just tell us, first of all, the players who have been selected, and also the reason why these players were selected.
Yeah, so Eva, Bailey, Fran, Jess and Ailey, they're all young, promising players that we've seen since we started the last 3 years. And even 3 years ago, some of them weren't old enough to play in the women's team here at Aberdeen. They were part of the Aberdeen Ladies programme in the underage teams. So for us, we feel their performances, not only here at Aberdeen, but also for the majority of the international performances that they've had, you know, for us to give them the chance to go and develop to be the best they possibly can, like we would do for any young player here at Aberdeen Football Club, male or female, we felt it was only right to reward it and to put our finance and our backing, financial backing, behind what we want to do to allow them the best opportunity to fulfil their potential.
I mean, these girls, I mean, I've obviously watched them over the last couple of years, are tremendous role models, aren't they? I mean, the work they put in is incredible, and they're very much deserving of this. And I mean, the whole team have done exceptionally well, haven't they?
They have, the whole team have, and they deserve everything that they've had this year. I mean, to think 3 years ago when we started that we would see, you know, Kelly Forrest, who's played for so long, you know, and captaining this side now, walk out at Pittodrie in front of nearly a couple of thousand people, and then at Ibrox, a month later, we'd be pinching ourselves. And then the same thing goes by, you know, for young girls now to be able to look up, you mentioned role models, to be able to look up to these five players and maybe more in future, along with the rest of the side, and say that we've got, you know, a professional model here at Aberdeen that young girls can aspire to become part of in future. And, you know, I arrive here on a Sunday when we have the academy games on, and this place is packed out with young girls ages 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, on both the pitches here at Cormac Park, both the AstroTurf pitches, part of the girls' festivals. And I know for a fact that if, you know, any of our women's team players walked in there, they would be a massive role model for these youngsters.
These five players, I mean, they're sort of the nucleus of the team, and if we can keep this team together for the next couple of years, it's quite exciting just how well, because if they've done so well this year, they're only going to get better over the next couple of seasons, aren't they?
They are, and they're only going to get better with the people around them, the staff and also their teammates, you know, who've helped put them in a position to where they are now. And this isn't just a model that we're moving forward just to professionalise the senior team. The rest of the players within the squad as well, you know, always will have that opportunity to become professional if we deem them, you know, at that level. But more importantly, we're going to enhance what we do for them as well. For each individual that's not on the professional contract, we're going to enhance what we do for them going forward to help take us to another level and help us work up the league. But more importantly, become a sustainable side in the top flight here, which is, as we know, next year is going to go into some exciting changes. And I think the way that the women's game is going to go in Scotland, it's only going to get bigger. It's only going to keep moving at the pace that it's moving at just now, which is incredibly fast. And we'll see where it takes us. But we've got good people around us at Aberdeen who haven't been appointed specifically for, you know, to work in the women's game. We've got experienced people, our director of football, our media team like yourselves, you know, Lisa, myself, our operations team. You know, we're all in this because we have a good understanding of how our football clubs run.
You talk about the game generally growing. I mean, have you been surprised at just how fast it's growing, even, you know, like even the last season or two?
Incredible. I mean, it's like I say, we had an idea and we kicked this off to 3 years ago, and we sat down with many of the girls that are still part of this squad now, and at the time some of their parents, because the age they were at, and said, look, we've got a vision. We want to see where it takes us. Back-to-back promotion, I think, as we all know, was our target. We went back-to-back promotion, but we won the title in both occasions. And then this year, our target from the outset was we needed to be finishing behind Hibs. And right now, that's what we've done. And, of course, it was a rocky start, but I think you need to have those rocky starts to understand where you are. I mean, we took an absolute slap off Rangers at the start of the year because we tried to play like we played last year. And I think, you know, from coaches and for players, you learn that you have to adapt when you move to the higher level. And, you know, we've obviously strengthened bringing in this year with, like, Gav Beath and Kenny. Kenny Strachan, Claire Garrett's come into that. You know, we've moved Beth into a more senior role in terms of the physio support that she gives to provide more consistency. And that's really helped. And I think we realised we needed to do that. And at the moment, and we've still a little bit of work to do, we're where we wanted to be at this stage.
When the AFC Women's team, when we started out, you obviously had a plan in place. Has things moved, accelerated quicker than you thought, though?
Yeah.
I mean, even going, taking this steps, has this happened a lot quicker than you expected it to?
Without a doubt. Because you need to have, firstly, you need to have the finance to be able to do what we're trying to do. And people maybe don't understand that our budget doubled when we moved into SWPL1. So everything that we had before, which I thought was incredible, you know, and you know, I've been part of this and overseen this programme for a while on top of my role as academy director. I know how much time it's taken out of my workload as well to be able to do this too, but it's because it's right. And I think it has moved quick. And even at the time when we won in the first year when we won the title, we had the Player of the Year dinner and I had a good chat with the national team manager at the time there. And it was very much about just build a good support network around all the girls. Don't think about going down that professional route at the moment. It's not something that you want to do. Just give them everything you can around them to allow them to fulfil their potential. But now, because of the way the game's gone, because the sponsorship that we have here, and we're very fortunate to have some, you know, key partners like Biscalis, Tendeka, and GAC, it makes a massive difference to how we can operate.
Try to bridge the gap with the three professional teams is obviously going to be difficult, but this is a step towards that, isn't it? But it's been very encouraging, the performances recently against the top sides, isn't it? How well have they done?
It has, and we've got to be realistic, you know, when we're playing against these sides. You can't just, like I said before, everything we do has to be sustainable here at Aberdeen, but it also has to be ambitious. So for us to try and match somebody like Rangers and what they do, it would probably cost us around £1.3 million a year. Now, that isn't going to happen unless there's any kind sponsors out there that want to help us try and do that. But I think, you know, we have to be realistic in what our targets are as well. And, you know, right now, it is about trying to sustain ourselves in that league, but go and challenge around that top half. But ultimately, it's about giving young girls in the North East and beyond the chance to come and fulfil a dream and be a professional footballer here at Aberdeen Football Club, and maybe have the opportunity to walk out Pittodrie like many of them had this year, which is a dream come true for the majority.
And just a word on the job that Gav and Emma have done. I mean, two of them fantastic coaches and have done had another great season.
They have, and I've been able to enjoy the stresses and the ups and downs that they've experienced, and probably more so of Emma over the last 3 years because she's been here from the outset, but her loyalty and commitment's absolutely fantastic. And I think, you know, the blend of, we get asked all the time, why do we have co-managers? And we think because the game's, the level we're playing at, the female program's still very new to us at Aberdeen, and having those two heads that will often clash healthily in terms of their opinions, but it also gives us a broader line of thinking, along with the likes of Kenny's input and Claire Garrett's input, to help you know, get the best out of the team. And I think it's something as well that we've had to use some of the senior players over the years as well to rely on and lean on. And of course, they're also very good at speak to some of the younger players and making sure that they feel part of it and have a voice too. But no, I'm really proud of how they've done. But also as well, the wider support that's given, because that's the bit that gets unnoticed. To run a team and to become a professional outfit for a number of players, it's a massive operation, and I think that's really underestimated at times. And nothing in terms of it being personal to anyone, but the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes of this football club by so many, it shouldn't go unnoticed.
Just finally, I mean, go back to the five girls, just what an opportunity for them, but what an opportunity for, as you say, some of these young girls now playing football in the northeast of Scotland.
And some of the young girls and some of the girls that have played for a while within the team, first and foremost, because they will see this. You know, they'll see the fact that five of their teammates at the moment, and we might have room to do more, you know, we'll have that opportunity, or now have the opportunity to be a professional player and to increase their training time through the week, to have better access to gym, strength and conditioning. And of course, you know, for us, it's about trying to give them the best possible platform to be the best they possibly can, and that might mean one day leaving Aberdeen or going on to being a Scotland captain, you know, like Rachel Corsi in the North East, who didn't have this opportunity when she was young to represent Aberdeen as a professional player, you know, and maybe one day she might come back and finish her career here. I don't know, but there's a hint there, Rachel, if you're listening. But I think, you know, it's exciting, not just within our team, but for everyone who's involved in Aberdeen Ladies. I've seen the under-19s play here at Cormac Park some Sundays, and I've been really encouraged with what I've seen there. And Gav and Emma have done a great job in bringing up a number of those under-19s to train with the first team every week, pretty much, and many of them are now featuring in around the squad. So I think it's exciting. You know, I think it's exciting. I think what we had at Pittodrie a month or so ago, where it was just full of young girls, they will now be able to say that our ambition and our dream is to become a professional footballer at Aberdeen Football Club, just like every young boy has.
Gav, you say exciting times for the women's team. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks.
Willie Garner has been appointed onto the Pittodrie board as a non-executive director. Garner played for the Dons between 1975 and 1981, winning the League Cup in 1976 and then the title under Alex Ferguson in 1980. He returned to Aberdeen in 1984 after a spell as Alloa player manager and helped the club win five major trophies during 2 years as Ferguson's number two. Garner, who then went into a career in banking and finance with Lloyds and Scottish Widows, said he was incredibly honoured to be appointed. The AFC Player of the Year Awards took place at P&J Live on the 28th of April with over 800 guests in attendance. Six awards were handed out on the night. The Aberdeen FC Community Trust Support Award went to Seafine. Development Player of the Year is Ryan Duncan. Young Player of the Year went to Connor Barron. Goal of the Season went to Facente Beswin for his strike against Hibs at Pittodrie in March. Players Player of the Year went to Lewis Ferguson. And AFC Player of the Year is Ross McCrory. Ross spoke to Mal after receiving his award.
First of all, many congratulations. How did you feel when the news was announced?
Thanks very much. No, look, it's an honour to get the award. Thanks very much for the support for the players for the season, the coaching staff, and also the fans. They've been tremendous since the start of the season. Obviously, the results are only good enough, but we know we need to be better, and hopefully we can finish the season on a high and start well next year.
And the fact that the award is voted for by the fans, Ross, it must mean a lot as well. You've always got on well with them. I think they all appreciate the commitment every game that you put in.
I definitely. Look, I think it's just it's nice to get a reward for the hard work I've put in, and the fans have recognised that. I appreciate that very much, and it's nice that they've noticed that. But hopefully, I can just keep paying them with good performances and keep them up.
It's got a big game on Saturday. How hard is it going to be watching from the stands?
I know I'm disappointed. I'm suspended them, but now look, I hope the boys can pull out the bag and get 3 points. It's a big game, it's massive for us all, and the boys know we need a big performance at the weekend.
I mean, it has been a very disappointing season, Ross, and no point in pretending otherwise. But I mean, the spirit amongst the group it's still good, isn't it? Considering everything they've been through.
Well, definitely. Look, I think with the quality from our squad, we're all still confident we can get results. And I think if you look at the squad on paper, it's more than good enough. So we need to put that into action and start getting points on the table.
The awards tonight, I mean, obviously seen Ryan Duncan, Conor Barron, Calvin Ramsey picked up the Football Writers Award. You're still a young player as well, Ross. So there's a lot of good things happening at the club, isn't it? And hopefully next season things will be better.
Well, there's a lot of good players. I've seen Ryan since I've been in. He's been in a few times, able to train more this season with us, and he's been on loan. But like Ryan Duncan, he's a he's a top player and he's very young as well. Also, you've got Conor Barron and Calvin Ramsey, and you've got Jack McKenzie there as well. The three of them have been in. They've established themselves within the team, and they've been a credit to themselves and been tremendous since they've been within the squad.
Yeah. And this season's been tough for everybody, but I'm sure a bit almost character building for a lot of them as well. Hopefully, they'll be stronger for the experiences, and again, going forward, will benefit the club.
Absolutely. The experience is what they can build on. They're all young players as well, and the more games they get under their belt, the more it can help them, and it'll help the club. And in the long run, it's good for the club because we're all young, plenty of years ahead of us.
Just finally, I mean, work's still to be done this season, but fingers crossed to get that win on Saturday and then hopefully finish the season on a positive note.
Definitely. Look, Dundee are a decent team. There's no getting away from it. It's a big game at the weekend and we need to get the 3 points. It's no getting away from that. So we need a big performance at the weekend and hopefully the boys can do it.
And the fans have been absolutely magnificent all season, stuck by the team. But again, on Saturday, it's just a case of everybody coming together to try to get that win.
Absolutely. The fans have been tremendous since day one. The backing they've gave So the first game of the season has been right up there, and we're grateful for the support, even through the bad times. They've been there and they've stuck past us, and hopefully we can repay them with a good victory at the weekend.
Ross, many congratulations on the award tonight.
Thank you. Cheers, mate.
The AFC Women's Player of the Year Awards dinner will take place on the 26th of May. The under-18s impressed with a 3-1 win against Dundee United at Cormac Park on Friday. A Ryan Duncan double and a Liam Harvey strike ensured the Dons ended their home league campaign on a winning note. Unfortunately, on Sunday they lost 2-1 to Kilmarnock at Rugby Park, Finn Yates providing the consolation goal for the Dons. Aberdeen are forming close ties with Juventus as part of the Italian giant's Club 15 project. Juventus see it as an opportunity to get a direct line into young talent who have the potential to develop at the Italian giants or alternatively use the clubs to help develop the club's own youngsters. For Aberdeen, it opens another market and a different pool in which to tap into. Juventus have a huge stable of players with nearly 120 across their first team and under-23 side. There are currently 43 out on loan to clubs around Europe and in the MLS, including Aaron Ramsey at Rangers. And finally, Liverpool are preparing to finalise a deal to sign Calvin Ramsey. The 18-year-old has enjoyed a stunning season at Pittodrie, making the right-back position his own and attracting plenty of transfer interest. According to the Mail on Sunday, it's Liverpool who are set to win the race to sign him in a £4 million deal, which will also likely include add-ons. His form hasn't gone unnoticed, and he picked up the Scottish Football Writers' Young Player of the Year award in Glasgow on Sunday night.
A big lad downstairs.
Oh yeah,
mine smells of fairies.
Does it?
Oh, it's lovely.
Got a lovely back area, which you can't.
Have you been in the back area, James?
Boner feels a bit too straight for you.
I've come in my jeans.
Oh yeah, me too. I've come in my jeans.
Like when you go round to the bottom side.
So I'm going to come in your eye line.
Pardon?
Click to the top rim of the glass because that's what makes the best noise. And commit to it.
So if you want the best noise, you've got to hit the top rim.
Commit to the rim.
Commit to the rim, hashtag.
She's coming in back at the studio now to smell hers, see what it's like. We've all gone.
I am hard.
My friend snogged dick once.
What a shame wasn't Dom.
Boopy cock is fine.
Yeah. Well, how about Lou? Say this is fine. Yeah,
Ms. Anus.
Yeah.
Oh no, sorry.
Do you want to? Should we try and, do more men? It's up to you. What? Come on.
I play with my lips. It's only ever just,
No, she didn't.
No, she didn't.
No,
she didn't.
She didn't.
Oh, no, no, no. Sorry, no. I'm pleased I just got head.
I got that on a T-shirt.
Shall I do you?
Yeah, well, there you are.
I'm going to come bottom again.
I'm having a go at his sex.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Nothing in particular, just saying
I'm... Just funny stuff.
I'm up, and no, sorry, that's...
Big soppy pants over here.
Yeah.
Hey, actually, don't call me that.
I do like your sausage battered.
I like it battered. Mm-hmm. Do you like yours battered?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We need nice long straps. Oh, it's so slick. You played the horn really well there. Yeah. Pop it in my cheek.
Pardon?
It's springy, bouncy, wobbly fun. Just push your fingers in a little bit more. You suck it up, essentially, and you don't kill it or anything. You kind of suck it up and hold it in that area, and then you release it into its natural habitat.
So you pour that in your meat,
yeah,
and you rub it.
The Chris Moyle Show.
You can find a gap everywhere, really, can't you?
You can.
Well, we're coming to the end of the season. The penultimate game for the Dons is tomorrow night away to St Johnstone with a 7:45pm kickoff at McDermott Park. The match will be available on pay-per-view, and Red TV International subscribers will be able to watch it too. Coverage starts at 7:30pm. Then on Sunday, our final match of the season is at home against St Mirren. Kickoff is at midday. Tickets for this match are on sale now from the Pittodrie Ticket Office. If you can't make it to the match, it'll be available to watch live online for virtual season ticket holders and Red TV International subscribers. And you can watch it on pay-per-view on Red TV as well. Coverage starts at 11:30am. We'll have a quick AFC Donscast update on Friday following the St Johnstone match midweek. And then it's our final one of the season next Tuesday, the 17th of May. You can keep up to date with all the latest and post-match reaction from the game tomorrow night on our social media at Inverness Reds, or head on over to invernessreds.co.uk. Till Friday, thanks for listening, and stand free.
All your latest Dons news. This is the AFC Donscast.